The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What's the good word? A good word. Let me hear a good word. Yes. Brennan. Good word? He lives? Yes. He is risen. He is risen indeed. The gospel that comes to us today is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there is so much right there in the beginning of Mark's gospel to cheer our hearts. In the first place, it speaks about the Son of God. And those who met Jesus and received him as Lord in his human ministry have a universal testimony for us, and that is that he is the Son of God. This is the testimony that is given of those who wrote the Gospels, of Matthew, of Mark, of Luke, and John. It continues with the writings of the epistles. So you hear it from St. Paul. You hear it from the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews. You hear it from St. Peter, from St. John, from St. James. But Jesus is the Son of God. You hear it in the revelation of John the Divine. The testimony of the entire New Testament is that Jesus Christ is verily the Son of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And what do they say? We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And so this is the testimony that we also hear affirmed by the Word of God at the baptism of Christ. In our gospel lesson today, we see that as Jesus submitted himself to the baptism of John, not because he needed to be baptized, but because he identified with sinners and would take upon himself that which was enjoined upon others and commanded them. Because of the dictates of love, he entered into the stream of the Jordan River, and when he came out, there was the voice from heaven declaring, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the testimony of man is confirmed by the testimony of God. And the witness of the church through all the ages is that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, begotten of the Father, begotten of the light, very God, a very God. And that is huge for us because he is also the one who is the Christ, the one who has been sent to be the deliverer of his people, the one who is the Savior. And we acknowledge him as Savior of the entire world, and indeed as our personal Savior. Christ has come among us to rescue us from darkness, from the bondage of sin, and the consequence of death, and from the clutches of the enemy. He has come to deliver us and bring us into his own glorious light, into the kingdom of heaven. And so our Christ is the Son of God, and to him is given all power. He is the one that can certainly rescue. If we are rescued by Christ, then we are rescued indeed, for there is no authority higher than his. He is the express image of the Father. He and the Father are one. There is no authority that is greater than the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, so often in this life, we're dealing with somebody and we get things figured out with them. We've negotiated, we have our understanding, and then we have to report to who they report to. And so there's someone higher than them. And up it goes, you know, on it goes, up the chain of command. There is always, you know, but with Christ, we're dealing with the one who is at the highest. There is no higher than Jesus. And so he is the one to whom has been given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and confess him as Lord. So he is the high. If we are saved by Christ, we are saved indeed. And this name Jesus to us is very precious because we see in the name of Jesus the very meaning of that word, God our salvation. There's a tremendous amount of anxiety in our country right now. We live in very anxious times. And I'll submit to you that one of the reasons we're so anxious is because we have the people putting their trust in man but not in God. They're putting their trust in human beings and in human institutions, but not their ultimate faith and trust in God who has come among us in the person of Jesus Christ. If we put our trust in God and not in man, we can finally calm down. Because God's will to us is good. We know that ultimate reality is God himself, who is perfect love. God is love. And so his love has been manifested to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We see the gift that is given to us of the one who is all glorious and who is now showing forth the love of God to us. And so this is a great gift that God has poured out upon us, is the love of our Lord, whom we are able to call God our salvation, our Lord Jesus. I remember the great strength, and remember this, the great strength that we can have if we turn to him in our times of trouble and trial. For he is our rock, and he is our strength, and the Lord Jesus is the one whom we can ultimately trust. I remember hearing of a woman that was in very difficult times. Her family was breaking up, and she was left by herself alone. And she said that the only strength she could find was in repeating the name of Jesus. She said it over and over again. It was her rock. And that it is for us too. The central foundation of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so ultimately, in his name, Jesus, the Deliverer, the Christ, the Son of God, we have the good news that God is pouring out into all the world. And the gospel that we have to cheer us up in uncertain times, and also the gospel to bring to others who are in darkness and in despair. And so may God bless us on this second feast, on the second day of the, or Sunday of the Epiphany. May the bright light of Christ shine in our own lives, and may we be strengthened by his grace that he has poured out to us by our faith and in the sacraments of the church, and may we also bring that light and love to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.